They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew.
Okay.
Radio Fairfax. Happy New Year to everybody. 2015 is starting out great. We have an absolutely incredible guest with us today, Dr. Gary Solomon. Gary, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure.
And Gary, you have got a gift for everyone. You have spent the last several months writing a book called HOA Crisis in America. And it is the most innovative, creative, exciting book that I have ever seen in my life. I sat there yesterday all day and I watched it, I read it, I took notes, I listened to it. There's a little bit of everything. How did you come up with the idea? Why did you write it? And where do you want to go from there?
Well, I came up with the idea because after doing the research now for close to 6 years, I realized that we needed a tool where we could reach the masses. And I wanted to create a book that was like no other book. There are no books that deal with the science of it, the real problems that are going on. But I wanted to reach the general public. So I wrote a book that is visual, audio, and printable. And with that, it gives the individual an opportunity to say, I'm not much of a reader, but I can sit down and watch. Or I don't have a lot of time, so I can sit down and watch. Or I prefer to print, read the book. It's fine. You can print the entire book. The book is designed so that you can take it in parts, what I call times. So if all you want to do is look at time section 5, you can go ahead and do that, and you can go ahead and print that. And on top of that, I didn't want anything to stand in the way of getting the information out there. And so the book is being released on your show, and it's being released for free. There's no charge for this book whatsoever.
That is super generous of you. I have to tell you, I sat there, as I said, I sat there and I watched it. I smiled, I laughed, I giggled, but then I just sort of pulled in closer and really watched, absolutely fascinated, because so much has been written about HOA, so much has been done. Quite often, it's either very dry, it's either very legal, or it's, you know, stream of consciousness, and you have no idea what the person is trying to say because they're so frustrated, so fed up, they just dump everything in the book or on the pages, and it's incomprehensible. This is so clear, and it's broken up so that there's a little bit of lightness, and there's a little bit of a giggle, and there's a little bit of a funny stuff. And you're also, I mean, we do make fun of HOAs and some of the ridiculous stuff that goes on in there. So it's a marvelous book.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It means so much to me that you feel this way and that we can get the information out and that others have an opportunity to feel this way, too. I also want to say that my other goal was I wanted to reach the politicians. The politicians who are laden with paperwork, who hear all the complaints, but don't really understand and don't have the time, fine. Sit down, listen to the book, and understand what's happening in the United States.
So if you're listening, guys, we'll give you the website. It's online. Gary, you want to do the honors?
Sure. It's www.HOAcrisisinamerica. And if you type that into your computer, it's going to come right up. I've also cross-referenced this to pitythepoorfool.com.
I love that.
Either way, you're going to get inside this book. And once you've opened it up, the book starts immediately. You don't have to click. You don't have to search. You don't have to do anything. The book starts and it just goes.
And right now, you've got legislators who are sitting there coming up with legislation that's going to interfere with your lives. Make sure you send them a link to this and make sure that they sit down and watch it, listen to it, read it. Whatever you want to do, just get them to read it.
Yes, pass this on. Forward the email address. Again, no charge for the book. We're not selling anything. I don't want a dime. Additionally, anybody out there who wants to take a section of the book and turn it into something for themselves, you go right ahead. I've removed the copyrights on the book. I don't want anything to stand in the way of the release of the information and the resolution of this problem, which I feel has now reached epidemic proportions, and I'm concerned that we may not be able to unring this bell.
You know, I watch people trying to reform HOAs. I don't think you can reform HOAs. I think you have to pull the plug.
Yes, I completely agree with you. I completely agree. I'm convinced that we can only pull the plug on this, as you have used wonderful wording, and we have to get rid of everything that exists and start over.
You know, we survived very nicely, and the rest of the world survives extremely well, and nobody's terrified of pink doors without all of the management and the lawsuits and the threats and the rules and the regulations and the CCNRs and all of that. You don't need it. You don't need it. As you have pointed out in the book, it's just there to make money for the industry, for the HOA industry.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. This is purely a money-making machine. And if I could take a moment and just speak about the notion of, for many years I didn't understand why this existed at all. I could not uncover why has this happened. After a time, about a year ago, I came up with an understanding in doing some research politically, and that is this whole thing exists, in my opinion, as a result of the problems that we're having with the infrastructure in the United States. Can I take a moment and explain that?
Yes, please do.
The infrastructure in the United States, our roads, our lights, our walkways, our schools, our bridges, are falling apart. And I talk about this in the book very clearly. The problem is we don't have the money to pay for all of this. Where are we going to get the money? Well, this with HOAs is very politically driven, and here's how it works. When an HOA is built, the individual who buys into an HOA is now going to pay property taxes that will pay for the infrastructure within the city, the state, and the United States. But they're now going to double pay just to live within the community to take care of the streets, the lights, whatever's in the community. Again, stated in another way, individuals who don't live in an HOA don't pay that, what I call, double taxation. If you live in an HOA, you're now paying double. And the city loves it because now they're able to save money by not having to take care of you in your HOA. They're now able to spend that money on the infrastructure within this city or the state or the United States.
It's a huge political issue, and some states, CAI attorneys have gone to the state and said it's not fair. So I know in Massachusetts and possibly a couple of other states, they have gone to local municipalities one at a time and said, look, it's not fair that, you know, we've got double taxation here. So tell you what, you refund us for trash pickup, and we will agree to never come back to you for anything else. So, you know, their big thing is, hey, we're looking out for the homeowners, and we're going to get them to refund us for trash collection. But that doesn't even come close.
Absolutely the tip of the iceberg.
It doesn't even come close. I'm going to tell you something else that I know happens here in Virginia, in Fairfax County, where I live, and it may happen in other places, but we're just tearing everything down and rebuilding. It's this smart growth. There's no space. We don't have any room between us. You know, it's an absolute disgrace. But because we're so close to the Chesapeake Bay, and because we have all this runoff that goes into the Chesapeake Bay, and we don't have any ground to absorb all the rain and the snow melts and all of that, they've come up with a porous concrete, or not concrete, asphalt, that's supposed to allow the water to drain through the asphalt, but they don't think that it's got much of a lifespan. So what Fairfax County has done is they're requiring developers to use this permeable asphalt in HOAs so that if it has to be replaced in a year or 2 years or 3 years or however long it's going to last, then it's the homeowner who bears the cost of replacing it. And so they're testing it out privately before they use it on county streets or county-owned asphalted areas, because the county doesn't own any streets or roads or anything.
Right.
So, you know, it's, they just keep adding and adding and adding and adding. It's, you know, there's got to be the straw that breaks the camel's back at some point.
Well, I've been in complete agreement, and I believe that we're rapidly reaching that point with that final straw. And this is only going to come back and haunt us. We're supposed to be building for the next generation. We're supposed to be preparing for them. And this is a fail situation for the masses, so that a very small amount of people can benefit in enormous amounts of money.
$65 billion annually.
Yes, and growing.
Yes.
And growing. More HOAs, more money.
$65 billion.
What I've done with this book is I've tried to supply the information for the government for the first time to show them the science behind the effects of living in HOAs. I'd like to talk about that for a moment.
Go ahead.
No one to date has come up with the information to show what the problems are. Some years ago, as you know, I released HOA Syndrome, which deals with psychiatric problems associated with living in an HOA. I realized afterwards that I need to supply more information for the reader, for the government, for people to understand why this is happening. And I'm going to summarize it here on the show. The reason that it's different in an HOA versus anything else is because HOAs have a hierarchy of authority. If we live in the community in general, there's always going to be stress. We live in a stress-laden world. But once we're in an HOA, that stress that would come and go now stays with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. because within that community exist people that have more power than other people within the community. And so I refer to these communities, these HOAs, as villages or ghettos. The people on the boards, they in fact hold the power. And now comes a statement for me that I'm going to ask people to try and capture. We tend to blame the management companies, collection companies, and lawyers. And they certainly are an enormous problem. But none of those problems exist. None of them exist unless the boards give them the authority. If the boards don't allow it, they're gone. So what about the nature of the individual who sits on the board with the intent of inflicting harm and pain on their neighbors? And in the book, I talk about what causes this psychologically. Again, I emphasize to the listener, it's always the board that inflicts the problem. The collection companies, management companies, lawyers are merely the vehicles to get it done.
I think one thing that you said in the book that I just sat there and I thought, click. You talked about OCD, obsessive compulsive disorders.
Yes.
And you talked about people who, and we've all known people, won't touch things, will turn around three times, will step over crack. You know, whatever the disorder is, whatever their thing is, it's their problem.
Yes.
But when they look at, you know, if they're looking at something and they cannot stand blue cars, all of a sudden that becomes their obsession. They've got to get rid of a blue car. And if you have a blue car, heaven help you.
That's exactly correct, Sue. That's exactly correct. Each of us, to some greater or lesser degree, has disorders. But most of us operate with those disorders within a normal range. And again, I talk about this in the book. I explain it to the listener and the reader. Take a person within a community, and they, in fact, are beyond the normal range, obsessive-compulsive, to use your example, use of the blue car for using your example, and they can't let it go.
Yeah.
That's all that's on their mind 24 hours a day. You are the object of their obsession. How does it play out? Letters, harassment, constant looking over your shoulder, being punished in this case for a blue car or a black car or a weed or a piece of trim or a light that's out. Whatever it is, those people can't let it go.
But it's their problem. It's not your problem. If the weed doesn't bother you, It's not your problem. I mean, if the weed's in your yard and it's not going to drive you nuts, then, you know, it's not, you don't have a problem there.
Yeah.
But it's their problem. It's their disease. It's their disorder. It's their dysfunction. And they're in a position to use their problem to make your life miserable. And that kind of just brings it right down to what's happening.
Yes, we're living in, here in the Western culture, this is westernized stress-related disorders. These disorders, these stress-related problems have existed for the millennium. This isn't the first, but now within an HOA, those stress-related disorders become amplified because the stress is on the homeowner 24 hours a day,
right,
7 days a week, and it's inflicted by the individual, and they're sick. And people don't like that I say it that way, and the people on the board, how can you call me sick? Well, look, it's sick to focus your life and your attention on other people, your neighbors.
Yeah.
The way that you're doing it.
Yeah.
In the book, I talk about, you know what? I'll go next door. I'll pull the weed. I'll change the light. I have sent letters out to HOA saying, you know what, don't bother them. Call me. I'll go do it. There's a problem with that. There is no money in resolve. And therefore, yeah. if I resolve the problem for my neighbor, how, in turn, will the board be able to inflict pain, punishment, and profit? The answer is, don't release the information. Keep it quiet and keep harassing.
When I was on the board, and I've told this story before, when I was on the board, I got a call from somebody in a neighborhood because they were not very happy with the way their neighbors were maintaining their property. And I said, look, you've got a beautiful lawn. Next time you go and buy, or you've got a beautiful garden, next time you go and buy bedding plants, pick up a few extra and say, hey, take it over to your neighbor and say, I've got a few extras. Would you like it? And then say, would you like me to help you plant them? And they said, oh, okay. Now, I could have gone to the manager and done all that. Gary, that turned out to be one of the prettiest streets in the neighborhood because everybody got into the spirit of it, and mm-hmm. they worked together, and they came up with their own decision and their own solutions on how to handle the issues. And they worked as a team, and they worked together. So the association was not needed. And if you compared that street to streets where the association was hounding people, that street was infinitely prettier. But beyond that, it was a lot happier as well.
Yes.
The people were happier. True. Yeah. So you don't need an HOA. You can deal with it. Granted, once in a blue moon, you're going to run into someone who's a little obstinate. But, you know, so that's life, right?
That's correct. That is correct. And to put our focus and attention on all this negativity, to hurt others, to inflict pain, is so detrimental, not only to us, but nationally. And it is an absolute delusion, a delusion on the part of the U.S. government and local cities and communities to believe that the children that are living in these communities, where their family, their mother, their father, their grandparents, their aunts, their uncles are being harassed, those kids aren't going to grow up and move into an HOA. Multiply that by the number of people that are being affected who are not going to want to come in, and what we're looking at is ultimate financial collapse and crisis. But this intuitive sense does not make common sense to the legislatures who keep on pushing this kind of building.
They don't have vision. They're looking at things, you know, they're not looking at anything beyond the tip of their noses.
Yeah.
They're not looking down the road to see what happens. I'm glad you brought up children, because children have absolutely worried me for years. I've always wondered what we would end up with if we have a society where children watch their parents come home afraid of checking the mail, afraid of going home, afraid of going into their neighborhoods, terrified of what's going to happen, cowering, sick. What are we raising?
We are raising, in my opinion, communities of children and families who are walking around with high anxiety, stress, paranoia. And studies have shown that this is having a long-term effect on those children when they become adults. And as that happens, worldwide studies have shown some of these children are going to retaliate, and they're going to retaliate in very violent ways, not just financially, not just by not buying in an HOA, but retaliating for what they did to their parents. Well, I mean, what the HOAs did to their parents. And the delusion comes in when we think that nothing's going to happen. I have asked for years now to build a tracking system for all these families that are losing their homes because of the HOA foreclosures. There's no data. Where are the families going? Where are the children going? How are they emotionally and psychologically? How are they being integrated into society? We look at the lower socioeconomic neighborhoods and we say, that's where all the problems are. that's where it's coming from. That's not true.
No, it's not.
What we should be looking at is across the board, all these communities where these children, in my opinion, are being abused and put under stress by proxy. And what I mean by that is through their mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles, the children are now suffering. And going into some of these places where these people are losing their homes, being put on the street, trying to fight the battle, losing their equity, it's going to end up in an absolute nightmare. And I will be gone, and I will be dead, and I want to solve this problem before I go.
With children, there's more to it. There's a war against children in these HOAs. They don't want children around. Children are not allowed to play outside. Children are not allowed. Little kids are not allowed to use sidewalk chalk, even though one rain will wash it all away. I mean, it's like, oh, my gosh, what are you doing? Devaluing property? You're letting your three-year-old draw pretty pictures and write, I love you, Mommy, on the sidewalk, and that's going to devalue property? I mean, come on. How insane can we get? But then I guess it goes back to the OCD. Somebody who has a problem and does not like to look at that is going to inflict that on their neighbors.
Well, look, so you use the word, how insane can we get?
Yeah.
This kind of insanity, this kind of abnormality is played out on the masses in the name of the few. And we only have to go back a few generations to look at what this kind of insanity did in World War II, World War I, the arguments and the idea of taking over communities. The idea of annihilating certain communities or certain cultures is taking place worldwide. We tend to think of ourselves in the United States as being above this. I will argue that we're the best at it.
Yeah.
We just do it very, very quietly, covertly, legally, in the name of the legislature, and we have the right to do this. But the truth is, we're great at it.
We're talking to Dr. Gary Solomon, who's written a book called HOA Crisis in America, and you can read it for free if you go to www.hoacrisisinamerica.com or pitythepoorfool.com or check my website. I will have links to it, and you can watch it, you can listen to it, you can read it, you can smile, you can stop everything and think things through. It is the most innovative, creative, fun book, and it takes a really sordid topic and makes it interesting.
Well, thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you for doing this, and thank you for providing it to everyone. I really appreciate that. You have, Gary, you have a list of words, and I think it's important that we start taking control of the language, the words that we use to define HOAs and what life in an HOA is like. And you have a list of 12 of them.
Yes.
And would you like to talk about them?
Yeah, let's do this. First, let me talk in general. This is new. HOAs are new. I talk about in the book that really since Levittown, about 1946, began the birth of HOAs as we know them today. And with that came a brand new industry, and like anything that's brand new, there are no words. Words are integrated into our language on a daily basis of things that are new.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the problem in communicating about HOAs and the problem is that people are describing them. They're all describing the same thing in different ways, but there are words that can be used instead of having to go through the description. Example, multi-generational equity theft. This is a concrete concept. We talk about people losing their equity and they're stealing this, and this is what's happening. Multi-generational equity theft says over generations of building equity and passing it from family member to family member, when it ends up in an HOA, you are at grave risk of having that equity that's been built up for a century stolen from you because the HOA can. And in fact, that's exactly what's happening. So let's call it what it is, multi-generational equity theft.
I like that.
The other word that I talk about that is kind of a tongue twister, but it's called oligopoly. The word oligopoly means a legalized monopoly. Now, we've heard HOAs, they're outside of the Constitution, and people that have tried to sue and go to court but can't, and all of the problems. And I will suggest to you that the O in HOA is really oligopoly. Homeowners Oligopoly Association, a legalized monopoly acknowledged by the United States of America to do what it wants the way it wants. And so introducing the word oligopoly now takes us away from all of the rhetoric about this isn't constitutional and it's not this and it's not that. It's an oligopoly. Call it what it is.
I like that.
Another concept that I talk about is vicarious lawyering by proxy. And this is a rather dubious thing that has come about over the years. And here's how it's done. To produce more and more income, the lawyers look for cases or complaints that come from outside the community. Example, myself. I sued with respect to some money that was owed to me. Rather than settle for the $100 suit, it was a test, the lawyer fought it, producing a legal bill in excess of $15,000. Mm-hmm. Who paid it? The HOA.
Right.
That means that the homeowners pay for that $100 bill 15,000 times over. 1,500 times over, I apologize. And the lawyers know that this is the case. What I believe is, and cannot prove at this time, is I believe in most cases the community doesn't know it's happening. And so they keep on paying their HOA dues, not knowing where the money's going. And I think in many cases the boards themselves don't understand. We could have walked away from this for $100, and now we're paying $15,000. This is a perfect recipe for greed and maneuvering and corruption on behalf of the attorneys.
I'd like to interject something here. We seem to be going more towards ADR. And when you go into ADR, a lot of times everything is closed. There's absolutely no sunshine. So the board can say, yes, we screwed up, and we admit that we've done this, that, and the other, and we're going to refund you, or we're going to pay you. But, of course, it's your neighbor's money that they're using, and they're going to pay you for this. But you cannot talk about it. And I have a real problem with that because your money is being used to buy a neighbor's silence for not talking about something the board or somebody did.
Yes. Yes, and this is a nightmare.
It is. It absolutely is a nightmare. So how are you supposed to know where your money's going when, and they can threaten you. Gary, we'll give you $25,000, but if you so much as whisper a word about this to anyone, you will have to give it back to us.
Yes.
And we will take you to court, and we will take your firstborn, and we will do this, and we will do that.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
And again, Chu, I'm going to underline, this is the board doing this. This doesn't happen unless the board gives authority to the management company, collection company, and attorneys to act on it.
That's right.
So who are the board? Look, I'm not saying every board member. I'm not saying every person that enters on the board is doing this. Many people go on the boards to try and make things right. But the boards are set up so that if the majority of the members are corrupt, if the majority of the members are ill, emotionally ill, they're suffering from psychiatric problems, especially related to sadism and narcissism, those individuals are going to inflict the pain. And we have no way out of it the way it is now.
I know. It's pretty pathetic. It's a really sad statement on the way Americans live.
Yes. Yes. And as we know, not getting better, getting worse.
It is getting worse.
That municipalities across the United States are no longer allowing, in many states and many cities, the building of subdivisions that are not HOA.
Yeah.
That is to say, we are more and more leading to a place where we don't have a choice.
We don't have a choice. I live in Fairfax County, and over 90% of all housing is in an HOA.
Yes.
So unless you want to rent, you know, you're stuck in an HOA. And you think, well, there's a, you know, 8%, 10% of the housing is non-HOA. We're tearing those down.
Yeah.
We're going into these developments and we're just raising them because we call it, you know, it's not smart growth.
Mm-hmm.
We're using too much land. And so we're going to stack people one on top of the other and stick them in their cheek to jowl because we just don't have the land. And then we're going to worry about runoff into the Chesapeake Bay.
Well, look, we can go ahead and do that building, but we don't have to have HOAs to do it.
No, you don't.
We can live this way. We can live in however, whatever housing you choose. But to live freely, that's the key here. And we can live reasonably, and that's the key. As long as we're going to have people around us with authority and control who are emotionally ill, sick people in this position, then we're going to have problems. And that's another term that I use, the word capo. The word capo, in this particular case, I spell it C-A-P-O. Its correct spelling is K-A-P-O. It comes from the Second World War, and here's how that worked. In the Second World War, the Nazis brought in prisoners who were given authority over their fellow prisoners. They looked for people who would be extremely punitive to their fellow prisoners, and they were oftentimes more brutal than the Nazis themselves, and they were called capos. I refer to people who were in this position as capos. But look, there can be good capos. There can be people who want to do the right thing, who want to help their neighbor. And there are bad capos. But the point is, the word capo describes people who are in a position of authority over other people, in this case, their fellow neighbors.
It's, yeah, and that's exactly right. And these are the sickos that end up doing it.
Yes. And I know that in this case, that it bothers people that I use this terminology. In the absence of the terminology, we're all over the map.
Yeah.
We need to focus in. Okay, you're on the board. Okay, you're a capo. Are you good? Are you bad? Are you evil or are you kind? And those people who are capos, who are evil, are the ones that are controlling what's happening in their community.
I have noticed over the years that sometimes management companies and attorneys will try to find the people they feel are easily manipulated, that have never had an original thought of their own, are incapable of thinking things through, and they scare them. If
yep.
you don't do this,
yes.
then you are subject to being sued by your neighbors. Well, wait a minute. There's an indemnity clause in the thing. You're not going to be sued. Personally, the HOA may be sued, but they'll terrify them.
Yes, and I'll take it a step further, Sue. There are those who have so much ego and pride
yes.
tied to the idea that, oh, look,
yes.
I'm in a position, I get to talk with attorneys.
Yes.
I talk with the management companies. Look at what I get. I didn't get this when I was a kid. I didn't get this growth, but now I get it now. Boy, I'm really in a position of power, and boy, is that Does that help one's hubris? Does that help one's ego? And so what I see a great deal with these people is the amount of pride they get from having this contact with the attorneys and management companies and collection companies. They thrive on it. They love it. They live it. It's their life.
One of the other areas that you have focused on is elder abuse. And one of your terms here is HOA financial elder abuse / elder abuse. Would you like to talk about that?
Sure. As a matter of fact, I have a couple of these suits coming up this year to test cases. To my knowledge, this has not been tested yet, but it boils down to this. Elder abuse can occur on someone who is 62 years or older. That's elder abuse in general. We usually associate elder abuse with things like retirement homes or hospitals or healthcare systems. But in truth, most of the elder abuse comes from relatives and family and caretakers. And the bulk of elder abuse is focused on what is known as financial elder abuse. And now I focus in on the Homeowners Association. What I believe is that the elderly people living in communities are targeted by HOA members who, in fact, are involved in the foreclosures because this population is less likely to be able to handle themselves, to take care of themselves. So the financial component comes into play as the equity is stolen, multi-generational equity theft, as a result of financial elder abuse. To date, I have been completely unsuccessful in getting the community or city, that is, the various government agencies, involved in this. I believe that they've been directed to stay out. I believe that the financial elder abuse is allowed to continue as a result of the amount of money that's being made. This is a horrible, horrible choice and mistake.
Well, two of the, I call them chapters, you call them hours, and for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, it'll become crystal clear when you go to the website and see it. But number one, you're starting a database of HOAs across the country, which I think is great. And the one chapter that I was super excited about was chapter 5 or hour 5, which explains stress on the body, on us.
Yeah.
The physical changes that happens to us as we're under stress.
For me as the author, this is the key time, the key chapter. I would invite you to hear, and you probably know this, that within our political system, we don't have scientists. We have the politician as a general name, typically business people, lawyers, and retirees. But scientists aren't people who are typically part of the governmental community. Unless these people become educated as to the science involved, what's going on with the individuals that are living in these communities, we're not going to be able to resolve any problems. The example I use is this. As soon as the government gets the word that we've got bad water, we've got bad meat on the counter, we've got some bad fruit, it's pulled off within a matter of hours. But tell the legislative community that we've got health care problems inside homeowners associations, and they turn their backs. Why is that? What's going on here? And the answer, I believe, is ignorance. They don't understand what's going on. I've tried to do this in such a way that the layman can understand these are stress-related disorders as a result of high glucocorticoid levels, our glucose levels, living in homeowners associations, which in turn are manifesting in physical illness. And Furthermore, I talk about the damage to the chromosomes through what are known as telomeres. I talk about the damage to pregnant women and the stress that they're under living in communities and the stress on children. Look, this isn't unknown science. This is science. This isn't me making this stuff up. I backed it up with science. Now that we acknowledge the science, we got to do something about this.
I think that was the most fascinating chapter. I just sat there and I was totally mesmerized. I sat there and I watched it. It's easy to understand. It's easy to see what's happening because you have drawings, you have diagrams, you have all kinds of images that makes it crystal clear. There is no reason for anyone to not understand that.
Yes, and I will, you know, kind of sidestep here. I designed that not only for the general listener, but for the attorney. Now the attorney's got something to take into the courtroom. They've got the science. This just isn't my client saying they've got headaches or they've got a number of problems. Here's the science behind it. Here's the proof. Now we've got something to hang our hat on.
I think that's amazing. That absolutely is amazing. For all of you, make sure, whatever you do, lock the door, take the phone off the hook. I don't care what you do, but sit there and watch that one. That's chapter 5 or hour 5. And you will understand why you cannot reform HOAs.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no question at that point. You cannot reform them.
And should the legislator, should our government turn their backs on this? Well, now we know for sure this just isn't the HOA, auto management company, collection companies, or attorneys. This is the U.S. government saying we're not going to get involved because we can't afford to stop this. Now I go back to the enormous amount of money going into the repair of the infrastructure. Do we need to repair it? Yes, we do. Do we have to take money from certain people to do it? Well, maybe we do, but tell them, or charge everybody a little extra to repair the infrastructure. And I don't know, Sue, that we can do it. There is no infrastructure in the world that has become more deteriorated than the United States. There are estimates that are in excess of over $7 trillion to repair our bridges, roads, lights, underground gas lines, plumbing. We don't have the money, but one point of access is homeowners associations who are being double taxed by living in a homeowners association.
I live in Fairfax County, as I've said. Fairfax County does not own owns very little infrastructure, yet all this money goes to the county. I think they're building more buildings for themselves. We have the government center called the Taj Mahal, because it's so huge. They were paying 45,000, this is 25 years ago, they're paying $45,000 for a conference table for themselves. I think that there's a lot of waste in government. We throw money around like it grows on trees. And then we go looking for money and we cry poverty all the time. I'd like to see a little more tightening their belts like the homeowners have to do to come up with all this extra money?
Yes, and it's a must. And now I move then to another term, and I'm sorry it's not on your list, and that's the concept of malignant apathy. We have all asked ourselves, why doesn't the homeowner, why doesn't the community get involved? Why don't they help their neighbor? Why are they turning their back? And my belief is the term is malignant apathy. It's not happening to me, so I don't need to be concerned. And now to go to your example of the constant growth and the amount of money that it's taking to feed the machine to keep the government with that $45,000 conference table. It's malignant apathy that allows it.
And that leads us to one of the words that I would love to see on there, and that's fear. Because there's so much fear in HOAs.
Yes, yes. An enormous amount of fear. And that goes back, of course, to the anxiety, and the anxiety as a result of the stress. We weren't designed to walk around with this much anxiety. Anxiety is supposed to only last for a minute or two. Now we are anxious 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, are we anxious at work? Are we anxious when we're driving our car? A little bit. But to be anxious 24 hours a day simply because of where we live in our home? No. We look at news reports from all over the world, and we look at the wars and say, oh, I understand why they are. There's gunfire. Well, there's gunfire psychologically in homeowners associations, and people are anxious. Don't let the kids out. Don't do anything. Stay in the house. Come and go to work, and that's it. That's no way to live.
A lot of people live behind closed doors because of the fear. They'll keep the curtains down or whatever. But you talk about drones, and you talk about drones that look like fleas that are that tiny. And in some of the images, the drones were actually in the house.
Yes, and I can assure the listener, they are on their way. This isn't new. They're on their way. They are perfected. And now the management companies and lawyers are going to use those drones flying in the neighborhoods 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, taking pictures, taking videos that are in turn going to automatically produce letters and signs so efficiently, so effectively, you won't be able to move. Now, if someone wants to target you, those drones can be programmed to focus the attention on your house through your windows, through your backyard. It will be nonstop.
We've already seen that. We've already seen cameras and satellite pictures and drones in a couple of cases. Not sure they're in that they were in the house, but they were in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And in the backyard, that's not visible. Why would anybody worry about something that's not visible? I mean, I don't know why they'd worry about it if it was visible, unless it was something really, really offensive. But why would people get to the point of having to inspect everything?
Look, if I'm ill, if I'm a sick person and I'm in this position, my life is nothing but your life, then I'm going to get a thrill from doing that. And I'm from a collection company, management company, or attorney. I'm going to make money off of the illness of the board member. It's a wonderful, perfect recipe for disaster. These people can't stop. And it's not going away. And I invite the listener to look very closely at the work that I did and the study on drones, and understand this is now.
And where do we go from here, Gary? What happens next? Where do we go?
Unless we, the people, move forward into the legislature and put a stop to this, I offer a solution to this in the book. Unless we move to that solution, we're going to see these communities as war zones, not in a figurative sense, but a literal sense. We're going to hear on national news about the homeowner who tried to shoot the drone out of the sky. It's going to happen, and someone's going to get hurt, and more people are going to get hurt. Where we go from here, do nothing. Practice malignant apathy, and it will continue. Become proactive and use the science to stop it, and we can put an end to this, and we can do it now.
HOAcrisisinamerica.com. Go to the website. Read the book. Watch the videos. Listen to the things. Listen to it. You print it out. there's so much information there. It is just absolutely amazing. As I have said, it is the most fascinating and wonderful book that I have ever read. And for that, I really thank you, Gary. I don't know how you came up with that idea for doing it that way, but oh boy, am I glad you did.
Well, thank you. And I would best to all the listeners, and for those out there that need help, I'm here. For the attorneys that need the support, I'm here. I'm not looking for a job. I'm looking to see this stop. So everything that I do.
So this is a passion. It's a passion for you.
It's an end of life. It's an end of life journey for me. I'm 67 years old. I never thought I'd see anything like this in my lifetime.
It's unbelievable. And I hope you'll come back, because there's so much more that we want to talk about.
I'm here anytime you want me. This is my purpose.
I really appreciate that. And thanks to all of you for joining us. Be sure, it's HOAcrisisinamerica.com or pitythepoorfool.com. Thank you.
Thanks, Sue.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.